our source. He is our strength. And we are here to give him praise and glory and honor in this place today. Are you ready to worship? Come on, put your hands together. Let's sing about that place we can't wait to see. Heaven, heaven.
Well, I've heard about a place not made by any man. Gates of pearl, streets of gold, where the rescued love to dance. And I've heard about the angels singing to the Lamb.
We are bound for, we are bound for the city of joy. Trumpet sounds, the sky will crack wide open and our feet come off the ground. Oh,
and I've heard that we will see him as all the saints bow.
Good morning, church family. I'm Jeremiah Johnston, one of the pastors here at Prestonwood, and today is such a special day. And if you're joining us for the first time, if you're our guest, we want to say a big church welcome to you. There's so many ways that you can connect with us, and one of the most important ways is for us to let you know what's happening in the church. So you can text 74788, the word connect. Connect to 74788, but even better, if you want to just stop by the atrium at Guest Central, give us some of your information. We'll buy you lunch today at our special buffet, and then we can get to know you better, and it's great to have you part of our church. I am so excited about this being a special day. This is our special Friends Ministry Sunday recognition, and they are all right back here, right under the time clock. Would you give them a big round of applause? The Those of you joining us online from all over the world right now, thank you too. We have a special place in our sanctuary where all of our special friends from our special needs ministry actually worship together. And today, they were greeting individuals as they were walking in today, saying, "Welcome to church." And that, you know, God uses men and women. God uses leadership. And friends, I'm so excited. And by the way, you may be seated for a moment because I want to recognize someone. Nicole Huggins, would you please stand? She's right here, stage right. Nicole, feel free to join me on stage if you would like. Nicole is our leader, global leader of all of our campuses of our special needs ministry. And because of your faithful giving, because of your faithful prayers, we have a ministry every single day that ministers. We bus in these wonderful individuals, our special friends, to worship with us on Sunday morning. In fact, Nicole, we have a gift. We have it's amazing, isn't it? We have a video that we're going to show. And I want you to check this out. Then we have a special baptism. And then we notice I keep using the word special. This is, as our pastor, Dr. Graham, says, this is a Jesus ministry. It's a Jesus ministry for our church. And then we have a very special baptism and a special prayer. So let's check out this video clip together.
Our special friends ministry ministers to preschoolers, elementary students, students, and adults. We share the gospel with individuals of all ages and individuals who have all different sorts of abilities. And we use picture communication, sign language, and sensory tools. Not everyone learns the same. Not everyone learns at the same speed or on the same level. And so this is a beautiful thing that we get to do in Special Friends, where we get down on the same level as every individual. We assign them value. We try to meet their needs on an individual level and basis to make sure that they know that they're loved by the Lord. This is Jackson Guerin, and Jackson's mom came to us and let us know that she felt like Jackson was demonstrating knowledge and understanding that Jesus wants to be his best friend. So she said, "Can we talk about baptism and about salvation with Jackson?" And so Jackson and I started meeting. We talked about sin and salvation and how Jesus wants to be his best friend forever. And it looked different. We use picture communication systems. We use picture schedules. We use sign language. Our tools are different, but the message of Jesus is the same. And we believe that you should never predetermine who's able to be reached by the Holy Spirit. And Jackson is an awesome example of that.
Yeah.
Prestonwood, I want you to meet my friend Jackson Guerin. Jackson, are you coming today to be baptized because you trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? Have you trusted Jesus Christ?
Yeah.
Upon that public declaration of faith in Jesus and following Jesus' command, I baptize you, my brother, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Buried with Christ in baptism, raised to walk in newness of life.
Hallelujah. We thank God for Prestonwood Baptist Church having a heart for all life. All life is valuable in the eyes of Almighty God. And today I have next to me 21-year-old Jacob Fegley. Jacob has the spiritual gift of prayer, and he's a part of our special friends ministry. So if you ever have a prayer request, I want to encourage you to ask Jacob to pray for you. Jacob's going to do our invocation this morning, lead us back into worship. Our pastor has a brand new series, Tell Me the Story of Jesus, that we're starting today. Jacob, would you lead our church family in prayer?
Yes. Please pray with me. Dear God, thank you that we get to come to church today, that we get to worship you. We thank you for the message today, and I pray that anyone who does not know Jesus would come to know you. And I know that you have a plan and a purpose for each one of us, and we all thank you for that. In Christ's name, amen.
Amen. Let's worship with our team. Thank you.
beautiful name it is, the name of Jesus Christ, my King.
Sing it together.
What a beautiful name it is, nothing compares to this. What a beautiful name it is, the name of Jesus. What a wonderful name it is, what a wonderful name it is, the name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a wonderful name it is, nothing compares to this. What a
Jesus. Well, good morning. And thank you, Jesus, for your presence in this place and just the wonderful worship that we're sharing together, full of Jesus. This is a Jesus church, in case you haven't noticed. And we love him, serve him. We're so grateful for our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, for the Father who sent him, for the Spirit who teaches us all about him, and for his church, the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is the beginning of something I believe is going to be epic, and that is a message series on the person and work of Jesus Christ. We're calling it Tell Me the Story of Jesus. Something does happen at the very mention of his name. The atmosphere changes. Everything changes at the very mention of his name. So the title of this message today is The Name That Is Above Every Name. I've been knowing this name, Jesus, since I've known my own name. And I'm so very grateful for parents and family who taught me early on, who whispered in my ear the name of Jesus, who sang the songs of faith. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. So throughout my life, I've been hearing the story of Jesus, like some of you. You're blessed if someone shared the name of Jesus with you early in your life and you came to follow Jesus as a child. Some of you met Jesus as a teenager or a university student or a young adult, and you've been discovering since that day the power of Christ in your life. Some of you came to Jesus later in life, and you're doing a little bit of catch-up, perhaps, on the story of Jesus. But I want us all to say what Fanny Crosby, the blind hymn writer, she wrote over 9,000 hymns. She was blinded by an accident by a doctor. It was really malpractice shortly after her birth. She was blind all of her life, and yet she wrote these great hymns with insight and so full of Jesus. And that song, we heard it earlier, Tell Me the Story of Jesus. Write on my heart every word. Tell me the story most precious, sweeter, dearer than I've ever heard. And there's a line in there that really tears me up and tears me up. She said, though blind, she says, and tell me the story of that love, and clearer than I've ever seen. Clearer than a blind person could ever see. And this is the story of Jesus. So grateful for this story. I've been telling it all my life. And I never get tired of telling the story of Jesus, because it never gets old to me. So for the next 6 months or so, it's going to be from the Gospels. We're going to take a deep dive into many of the Gospel accounts. And it's going to be Jesus, 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 and more Jesus. I can't get enough of Jesus. And so we want to know him more, that we would love him more. I never want to lose the passion, the love for Christ, that first love that God gave me even as a child, and that I would grow and love him more and more each and every single day of my life. And that's my prayer for you as well, that God would write on our hearts. Now, we can't tell the whole story. We would be here till Jesus comes, and that could be soon. But we would be here a long time trying to tell this story. Even John, because it's, you know, language cannot contain this story, and length cannot contain this story. Even John, who wrote one of the Gospels, will be exploring. There are four Gospel writers, eyewitnesses to Jesus, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. They all see it from a historical point of view and a spiritual point of view as well. But John, closing his book, said, well, I just suppose that if I wrote everything there was to say about Jesus, all the books in the world couldn't contain it. And all the sermons in the world, and all the stories. There are a lot of great stories, both fiction and nonfiction. But there's no story like this story. It is the greatest story ever told. The title of this very first and introductory message to the series is The Name That Is Above All Names. And of course, that's taken from Matthew chapter 1. And I want you to see verses 21 to 23. Because We meet Jesus in the Gospels 9 months before he was born. The Holy Spirit overshadowed Mary. She conceived. And Joseph, her espoused husband, her husband-to-be, was stunned by this news that she was expecting a child. What was he to do? An angel appeared and gave him this word. Verse 21, Matthew 1 and following. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name, say it, Jesus. For he will save his people from their sins. And all this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. Behold, the virgin will conceive and bear a son, and you shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. And so the child was born, and the scripture says Joseph called him Jesus. Mary and Joseph, the parents, the first to hear that name. That name is a Hebrew name, actually a common name in the Old Testament as well as the New Testament, Joshua or Yeshua, which means Jehovah saves, Yahweh saves, God saves. So it is clear that in the very name of Jesus is the nature of Jesus and the mission of Jesus, who came to seek and to save the lost. He will save his people from their sins. He came to forgive us and to set us free from the power of sin and death and hell. And so it's Jesus, whose name is above every name. The great theologian and missionary, the Apostle Paul, said it in Philippians chapter 2, that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God. Wonderful name. Powerful name. Beautiful name of Jesus. And what is there so special and supernatural about this name? A survey was taken a number of years ago, which they asked people, who are the most influential people in human history? In your estimation, who are the greatest people in history? And at the top of the list, after the study was done, people said Jesus of Nazareth is the most powerful, influential person who ever lived. Number one. Now, you don't have to take a survey to know that. I mean, it should be obvious that Jesus is the greatest name and the greatest person who ever lived, and the most powerful and persuasive, his personality. Now, back in the late 1960s, some of us were Beatle fans, and we were a bit taken back when John claimed that the Beatles were more popular than Jesus Christ. And maybe in some people's hearts and minds they were. But John Lennon, tragically a few years later, was gunned down, assassinated in New York City. While their music may live among some of us old rockers, the names of the Beatles and all other men will disappear into history. But this one name remains. John Blanchard, who is an apologist for the Christian faith, suggests that there are about 60 billion, 70 billion maybe, we don't know exactly, people who have lived since the dawn of human history. Billions and billions of people who have lived. And of the 50, 60 billion people who have lived on the face of the earth, there's just a handful of people who have really made a mark, really made a difference, really changed history, just a handful. And among those who are just a handful, Jesus stands above all. His name is the most quoted name in history. If you're interested in knowing what the other nine on the list were that the people came up with, Napoleon Bonaparte, William Shakespeare, Muhammad, Abraham Lincoln, George Washington, Adolf Hitler, Aristotle, Alexander the Great, Thomas Jefferson, and maybe you could add to the list of the great people in history. But here's the point that I want you to know and make today. You can't include Jesus on any other list of human beings, because Jesus Christ is not just a good man, even a great man, or the greatest man. He is the God-man. He is the God of heaven and earth. He is the Lord of life. What is it about Jesus of Nazareth that sets him apart from everyone else so that he is the incomparable Christ? You can't compare him to anyone. What about it? Because when you think about it, he never traveled but a few miles from his own hometown, never left the country except when his parents, in an interlude, took him over to Egypt for a few years and then brought him back. He never traveled very far, just a few miles from his hometown of Nazareth, and yet his name has traveled to the ends of the earth. His message, the story of Jesus, is everywhere on planet Earth. Virtually everyone on the earth can now know his name. He never wrote a book, not one. And yet he is the author and the finisher of our faith. Jesus wrote his own story. He's the author of this story. And we're praying that his story will be your story and my story. But all the books in the world that contain, the libraries in the world that scrutinize Jesus, some who criticize Jesus, who speak of Jesus, who theologize and eulogize Jesus, all these books in the world, he never wrote one. And yet there's been more written about Jesus Christ than any person in history. He was a carpenter's son on earth, grew up in his earthly father Joseph's home and carpenter shop. He had no formal education. His little town of Nazareth, kind of a funky little town, oppressed by the Romans in that day. It was a wild town in many ways. In the time of Jesus, there would have only been 400 to 500 people living in his hometown. Just a few people. I preached one of my first revivals as a young preacher at Pickles Gap, Arkansas. Near the Toadsuck Ferry, right outside of Conway. I mean, a little town. I mean, so Jesus is from Pickles Gap. He's from Nazareth, this little hick town. And yet, he is known throughout the centuries and throughout history. His own people wanted to kill him. People who lived in Nazareth, at his inaugural message in the synagogue there in Nazareth. They heard him claim his deity and his messianic ministry and mission, and they took him to the edge of town and were about to throw him over a cliff when he just walked right through them and passed right through them. Many people have tried to destroy Jesus and take him out, but you can't stop what God has started, what God does in Jesus Christ. The world's great art and literature, you know, Jesus never painted a painting. He never wrote a drama or a musical. And yet, literature and drama and music and media, the recent popularity of Chosen, The Chosen, I hope you're watching it. Dallas Jenkins, the producer, and we're grateful that Dallas did a little interview with us just last week about the Chosen series and this series of messages. We'll be playing some of that, but and some of the clips from the Chosen. I mean, from every generation, from art to drama to stage productions, it's Jesus, Jesus, and more Jesus. He never wrote a song, and yet there have been more songs written about him, more melodies than anyone else in history. He lived 33 years. Most of what is recorded in the Gospels is his three-year ministry on earth. And of the three-year ministry of Jesus recorded in the Gospels, something you may not have thought about, but there are only parts of 26 days in the life of Jesus recorded in the Gospels, the eyewitnesses. 26 days. Part of 26 days. And yet in 26 days or less, Jesus changed the world. Amen. What is it about this special, this supernatural name? He never started an educational institution or a seminary or a synagogue. He started a church, and the world has heard the message of Jesus. He's the most important person. He has been studied. He has been analyzed. He has been talked about more than anyone on earth. And why is this? What is this that has happened? Who is this one? Well, that's what we're going to be talking about week after week. Why is he so unique and compelling? Why Jesus? I have a big task in front of me because human words cannot describe him. A human being cannot fathom him. Our hearts cannot contain him. He is the imponderable, the incomparable, the uncontainable Christ. Words fail me when I come to talk about Jesus. And this is why I'm so glad we have the Bible. Because the Bible is the story of Jesus from Genesis to Revelation. His footprints are on every page. It's the story of Jesus. Today, in the brief time that we have together as we introduce this series, I want to talk about his name, his fame, and his claim. First, the name of Jesus. I told you it means Jehovah saves. Our God saves. There are actually in the Bible many names that describe Jesus because one name could not describe him. My friend Robert Morgan, the author, did a study. He scanned all the scriptures from beginning to end looking for the names of Jesus. The names, the illustrations, the appellatives, the descriptions of Jesus, the titles of Jesus. And he came up with over 350 names describing Jesus. Because no one name can describe the infinite God-man, the Lord Jesus Christ. But his name embodies his nature and therefore his mission. Our God saves. He came to seek and to save the lost. And it is that name that we proclaim, the name that was given to him by God the Father. And it's that name in which there is power and there is prayer and there is presence and there is authority. It's all in the name of Jesus. The great hymn writer and pastor John Newton put it this way: how sweet the name of Jesus sounds in a believer's ear. It soothes his sorrows, heals his wounds, and drives away his fears. How many have cried out to that name in times of fear and death and sorrow and grief? It is that name in which there is power and there is healing. It is all in the name of Jesus. And his name is for everyone. You can't limit it with language or socioeconomic. I mean, Jesus is for everyone. His name to the ends of the earth. His name is not for one group or one race or one kind of personality. The name is for everyone and anyone. Whatever you do, whoever you are. To the artist, he's the altogether lovely. To the architect, he's the chief cornerstone. To the astronomer, he's the son of righteousness who rises with healing in his wings. To the author, the writer, he is the author of eternal salvation. To the baker, he is the bread of life. To the banker, he is the hidden treasure. To the biologist, he is the life. To the botanist, he is the rose of Sharon. To the builder, he is the sure foundation. To the carpenter, he is the door. To the educator, he is the truth that comes from God. To the farmer, he is the Lord of the harvest. To the florist, he is the lily of the valley. To the geologist, he's the rock of ages. To the horticulturist, he's the true vine. To the judge, he is the righteous judge. To the juror, he is the faithful and true witness. To the jeweler, he's the pearl of great price. To the lawyer, he's the counselor and our advocate. To the newspaper editor, even to the media. He's good news of great joy. To the philanthropist, he's the unspeakable gift. To the philosopher, he is the wisdom of God. To the preacher, he's the word of God. To the sculptor, he is the living word or the living stone. To the servant, the laborer, he is the good master. To the shepherd, he's the chief shepherd. To the soldier, he's the captain of the Lord's army. To the statesman, to the governor, to the president, he's the desire of all nations. To the theologian, he is the author and finisher of our faith. To the sinner, he's the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. To the Christian, he is God of very God. He is Son of the living God. He is the Savior. He is the Redeemer. He is the way, the truth, the life, the hope of glory. Our precious Lord Jesus, our coming King. There's just something about his name, the name of Jesus. Yes. No wonder then we can speak of his fame. Because of his name, his fame, because of who he was. Jesus of Nazareth in Luke chapter 18, verse 37. Jesus of Nazareth was passing by. He was just passing through one of those small villages around the Sea of Galilee. And the crowds would gather. Some rejected him, his own rejected him, but the common people heard him gladly. Multitudes gathered. Miracles were performed. Lives were changed, and his fame grew and grew and grew. Just a boy born in Bethlehem, raised in Nazareth. How odd of God to do it this way. He lived a perfect life. He spoke like no one else has ever spoken. Words that, you know, Jesus was not just a teacher who came from God. He was God who came to teach. And the crowds began to follow him, and they listened, and they hung on every word. They experienced his holy presence, and his fame spread from the little towns around the Galilee to the city of Jerusalem and all the way to the temple and ultimately to the ends of the earth. Just a small band of believers and followers and eyewitnesses to his resurrection took the message of Jesus to the ends of the earth. His fame is unparalleled to the degree that on this day, 1/3 of the world's population believe in Jesus Christ and confess him and profess him as Savior. Millions will tell you from every background of life that Jesus changed my life. Amen. That's his fame. Many have predicted the death of Christianity through the centuries. They took Jesus to a cross and took his life. He gave his life. They thought they took his life. He gave his life. But they put him in a tomb, a borrowed tomb. They said, there, we're done with that. Just another religious huckster. Just another troublemaker among the Romans and the Jews. Just another would-be Messiah. Another one crucified. Just another one. To those who crucified him, he was just another one. But to us, he is the only one. Amen. And his goodness and his grace cannot be controlled or contained. He put him in that tomb. He said, it's over. It wasn't over. And here's why we still speak his name. This is the reason for his fame, forever fame. He came out of the grave. And the message of Jesus is that because I live, you will live also. And because he lived And because he lives, he lived, and he lives. If Jesus were still in that grave, you would have never heard of him. He would have been gone forever, just another one. But Jesus came out of that grave. And we know his name because it is true. He is the inescapable Christ. He is the one and the only one who can be your Savior. His popularity remains. I heard about Don Shula, the coach of the Miami Dolphins, great coach, second greatest coach in NFL history, next to Tom Landry. But a great coach, Don Shula. And he was so popular in Miami and South Florida that, you know, he was always, when he would go to a restaurant, like many celebrity types, people would just crowd around. So he thought he would take his wife someplace where no one would know them and they could just get away. So they went to New Hampshire and found a little small town in New Hampshire and checked in and to their hotel. And then they said, let's go to a movie, a little movie house down there. Thought that'll be fun. So they go to the movie, they get their tickets, and they walk into this small little movie theater. And when Don Shula walks in there with his wife, everyone began to cheer and clap and applaud. And he says, oh, goodness. He said, I can't even go to some little old town in New Hampshire without people knowing me. And they're just applauding like crazy. He sits down. The guy next to him says, man, we're really glad you're here. He said the manager of the theater said they weren't going to start the movie until the last two people came in. We're really glad you finally made it. I mean, fame is fleeting, isn't it? Not the fame of Jesus. The name, the fame, and then finally, the claim of Jesus. Jesus claimed to be God. Now, as C.S. Lewis said, he is either a liar or a lunatic or a Lord. That's a trilemma. He's either a myth or a mystic or misunderstood or Messiah. Back in the late 60s, the era of rock, sex, drugs, and rock and roll, another generation ago, a Jesus movement was forming on the West Coast and swept the nation. And so many people were asking, who is this Jesus person? People are still asking that question today. If you ask 10 people on the street, who is Jesus? You might get 9 or 10 different answers. But as the Jesus revolution was moving, it was a great revival that swept across America and in some parts of the world. I'm a product, and many of you, of that generation and the Jesus movement and that revival of the time. So people were asking, who is Jesus Christ? He was on the cover of Time magazine, a facsimile of him, an artist rendering of him. And then he was on the stage in London and in New York, a play, a rock musical by the name of Jesus Christ Superstar. And when I first heard it, I thought, that's a bit blasphemous. But as I've thought about it through the years, and if you listen to the tunes of Jesus Christ Superstar, written by Andrew Lloyd Jones and Tim Rice, they ask the questions that everyone was asking then, everyone has been asking since, and really in all times. Jesus Christ Superstar, do you think you're what they say you are? That's a big question. Jesus, do you think you are who they say you are? Well, Jesus knew fully and full well who he was. And what he claimed is critical to who Jesus is. Larry King, the great interviewer, was being interviewed by Bryant Gumbel. And they asked Larry King, Gumbel asked Larry King, who is Jewish, was Jewish, if you had one question that you could ask God, what would you ask? And Larry King said, I would ask him if he had a son. Good question. The question. Jesus asked it, who do men say that I am? Jesus took on the names of God, the great I am. What were his claims? He claimed to forgive sins. Only God can forgive sins. He claimed that God had given him all authority in heaven and in earth. Jesus claimed that if you have seen me, you have seen the Father. Jesus claimed that I am the light of the world, and if you reject me, you will walk in darkness and judgment. Jesus claimed that if you do not believe me and follow me, that you will die in your sins. Quite a claim, isn't it? He said he came down from heaven as the bread of life. He claimed, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believes in me, though he be dead, yet shall he live. Jesus claimed, John 14:10, I am the way, the truth, the life, and no man comes to the Father except by me. Jesus said, I will judge the nations in Matthew 25 and determine the eternal destiny of billions of people. Quite a claim. He experienced and accepted worship as God. For example, when Thomas, after the resurrection, said, my Lord and my God, and Jesus accepted. He didn't say, no, don't say that. Don't say that. He accepted the skeptic's confession, doubting Thomas's great confession of faith. I think Thomas sometimes gets a bad rap. I think he was just a man with some questions and he wasn't afraid to look for the answer. Jesus claimed that heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. All authority in heaven and earth is given to me. Now, you have a decision to make. Is he right or wrong in what he named and what he claimed? Who he said he was? Jesus Christ, are you who they say you are? Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. And the reason that Jesus deserves and demands our full allegiance, therefore, and obedience is because he is preeminent. He doesn't want a place in our lives, prominence in our lives, but preeminence and obedience in each of us. How are you going to know God? See, I want to know God. If there's a God, how can I know him? Not by religion, not by reason, though our faith is a reasonable faith with evidence, but not by reason. Not by the rules of human effort and self-discipline. Not by rules, not by religion, not by reason. How will we know God? By revelation. And the revelation is Jesus Christ. John put it this way, in the beginning was the Word, the revelation. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the same was in the beginning with God, and all things were made by him. And without him was not made anything that was made. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. Amen. It's revelation. Jesus is the revelation of God, and that's how you know him. So the question then that we all have, Jesus answers the question, who am I? But we have another question. It was the question raised by Pontius Pilate at the trial of Jesus. And he said, what will you do with Jesus, who is called the Christ? every head bowed and every eye closed, please. That's my question to you. It's God's question to you this day. What will you do with Jesus? The Bible says he came into his own received him not, but to as many as received him, to them gave he the right, the power to be called the children of God. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. If you want to be saved, there's no other name. The apostle said in Acts chapter 4, there's no other name given among men by which we must be saved. And we must be saved. There's no other name but the name of Jesus, the way, the truth, and the life to the Father. So what will you do with Jesus? Will you accept him or reject him? Will you say yes to him who calls you and follow him all the days of your life? Will you give him the proper place of preeminence and lordship in your life? What right does anyone have to call themselves a Christian if Jesus is not Lord of their lives? So is Jesus Christ your Lord? Have you confessed him as your Savior and your Lord? I want to give you that opportunity right now. Just right where you are, watching on a screen somewhere, watching on PowerPoint television, listening on radio, right here in this room. The Spirit of God is speaking to you. What will you do with Jesus? Say yes. Just say, Jesus, Jesus, I invite you to come into my life. I turn from my sin and I trust in you and you only to save me. I believe. I receive you as my Lord and Savior. Come into my life, Lord Jesus. It's so simple, isn't it? We've complicated it way too much. It's so simple that the smallest child can understand it and respond. Or the oldest person in this room, or wherever you are, can still discover the power of Jesus. You can be born again. So trust in Jesus. If you're watching on a screen, 747-88 is the number. Just text in J-E-S-U-S, Jesus. And we're standing by with materials. We want to give you a Bible. We want to respond to your questions. We want to encourage you and pray for you. So 747-88, text in Jesus. And right here in this room, I'm going to ask you to do something very important, and that is to openly confess your faith in Christ. If you're receiving Christ today, I want you to come forward. Now, there's nothing magic about coming forward or walking down a church aisle. That doesn't save anybody. But if you're trusting in Christ or you want to know more about what it means to follow Jesus, come forward. Upstairs, we have ministers in the balcony, and downstairs here, there are ministers. Our pastors are going to be right here to answer your questions, to pray with you, to encourage you. And you can walk out of here on this brand new journey with Jesus in your life. You can be saved today. Are you saved? Do you know you're saved? Do you know you're going to heaven? What will you do with Jesus, who is called the Christ? Others, you're a believer, you need to be baptized, as these were baptized this morning, to confess your faith. Others are baptized believers, but this is the day you want to join Prestonwood. The followers of Jesus get in his church, gather in his church, and go with the church to tell the world who he is, to tell the story of Jesus. So we're not just afloat out there somewhere spiritually, but to engage in the body of Christ, the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. So if you are led by the Spirit to join Prestonwood today, it may not be the most convenient church, but it is a church where you are blessed and you believe that God is leading you here and you want to be a part of it, then come today and make that decision. You say, I can do that today? Absolutely. Just come forward. And so we're going to stand and sing after we pray. People are already on their way. People are already coming to Christ this morning online, 747-88. Jesus, Lord, take now this time of decision. May your Holy Spirit move through your word in the hearts of your people. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for joining us for worship at Prestonwood. As you heard earlier, if you made a decision for Christ, please text Jesus to 747-88. We would love to connect with you and give you these great resources to help you grow in your faith. One is a New Believer's Bible with helpful notes to help you study God's Word. The other is a book by Pastor Jack Graham on the next steps to take as you pursue this new life in Christ. As we close, I'd like to thank you for your faithful giving to support Prestonwood and the work God is doing through our ministries. If you would like to give, text word GIVE to 74788 or visit prestonwood.org/give. It's been a joy worshiping with you, and we look forward to seeing you again soon.